Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Soil and Soul, People vs. Corporate Power by Alistair McIntosh is a work of environmental politics, human ecology, community activism, and spiritually informed social criticism. First known for its account of Scottish land struggles, the book connects local campaigns over land use and ownership with larger questions about corporate globalization, cultural identity, ecological responsibility, and the inner resources needed for public action. McIntosh writes not as a detached policy analyst, but as an activist, scholar, and participant in community movements, especially those associated with the proposed Harris Superquarry and the community Buat of the Isle of Eigg. The book argues that environmental conflict cannot be understood only through economics or regulation, because land carries memory, belonging, livelihood, and moral meaning. Its purpose is to show how communities can resist destructive power when they recover confidence in place, culture, and shared agency, while also examining the spiritual and psychological depth beneath political struggle. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, human ecology as a framework linking land, community, and inner life. A central contribution of Soil and Soul is its use of human ecology as more than an environmental science label. McIntosh treats ecological questions as inseparable from social power, cultural memory, economic dependency, and spiritual meaning. This approach challenges the narrow view that land is primarily a commodity or development asset. In the book, land is also the basis of community continuity, identity, subsistence, and moral responsibility. That framing matters because it changes the kind of evidence that counts in public debate. Technical assessments of profit, extraction, or infrastructure are not dismissed, but they are shown to be incomplete when they ignore the lived relationship between people and place. McIntosh is especially interested in how damaged communities can internalize powerlessness, making ecological loss also a psychological and cultural loss. Human ecology, therefore, becomes a method for seeing connections that institutions often separate environment from economy, politics from spirituality, and local history from global systems. The result is an argument that ecological restoration requires social and inner restoration as well. This is one reason the book differs from conventional environmental policy writing. It asks not only what should be protected, but what kind of human beings and communities are capable of protection. Secondly, the Harris Superquarry campaign is a case study in resisting extractive development. One of the best-known elements of the book is its treatment of the proposed superquarry on Harris in the Outer Hebrides. McIntosh presents the conflict as more than a dispute about planning permission or scenic preservation. The proposed quarry becomes a concrete example of how corporate development can define a place through external demand, reducing a living landscape to a supply of aggregate for distant markets. The importance of the case lies in the contrast between scales of value. Corporate and economic arguments tend to emphasize jobs, investment, and resource efficiency, while local and ecological arguments include cultural inheritance, landscape integrity, community consent, and the long-term consequences of extraction. McIntosh does not simply romanticize local opposition. He shows why communities facing economic vulnerability may be divided when promised employment. This makes the struggle morally and politically complex, rather than a simple conflict between good locals and bad outsiders. The campaign illustrates the book's broader claim that democratic participation is weakened when powerful institutions control the language of necessity. By documenting resistance to the quarry, McIntosh shows how communities can challenge that language and insist that economic development must be accountable to ecological limits and local meaning. Community land ownership as a practical alternative to absentee power. The book gives significant attention to land reform, especially through the example of the Isle of Eigg community Buat. This case is important because it moves the argument from protest against harmful projects to the construction of alternative ownership. McIntosh treats community ownership as a way to address the historical problem of land being controlled by distant or unaccountable interests. And in this view, land reform is not only a legal or financial transaction. It is a shift in agency, allowing residents to participate more directly in decisions about housing, livelihoods, environmental care, and cultural future. The Eigg example helps ground the book's moral argument in practical politics. Communities do not merely need protection from corporate or landlord power. They need structures that make self-determination possible. At the same time, the book does not imply that community ownership automatically solves every problem. Local control still requires governance, shared responsibility, and the capacity to manage conflict. Its significance is that it changes the starting point. Instead of asking how outside owners can be persuaded to act benevolently, it asks how people who live with the consequences of land decisions can become legitimate decision makers. This makes land reform a central mechanism of ecological democracy. Fourthly, spiritual activism as a source of resilience and moral imagination. Soil and Soul is distinctive because it places spirituality near the center of environmental and political activism. McIntosh does not treat spirituality as an escape from material struggle. Instead, he presents it as one of the sources from which courage, solidarity, restraint, and imagination can emerge. The book argues that campaigns against powerful institutions often fail if they rely only on technical objection or anger. Activists also need a deeper account of why a place matters, why human dignity matters, and how resistance can avoid becoming merely reactive. This is where the idea of soul becomes politically relevant. It refers to the depths of identity, memory, conscience, and relationship that can be activated when people defend land and community. The spiritual dimension also helps explain why ecological destruction can feel like a wound rather than a simple policy failure. For readers used to secular environmental analysis, this aspect may be the most challenging part of the book, yet it is also what gives the work its unusual character. McIntosh expands activism beyond lobbying and protest, presenting it as a process of recovering belonging, confronting fear, and acting from moral depth rather than from calculation alone. Lastly, a critique of corporate globalization grounded in local experience. The book's criticism of corporate power is rooted in specific places rather than abstract anti-capitalist theory. McIntosh examines how global economic forces can reshape local landscapes, livelihoods, and political choices, especially when communities are told that outside investment is their only realistic future. His critique focuses on the imbalance between mobile capital and rooted communities. Corporations can move resources, risks, and profits across regions, while local people remain with the long-term social and ecological consequences. This asymmetry is central to the book's argument about power. It explains why formal consultation may be inadequate when one side has far greater legal, financial, and technical capacity. McIntosh also links globalization to a crisis of imagination. If people accept that economic growth and external ownership are inevitable, they may lose the ability to propose alternatives based on stewardship, sufficiency, and local democracy. The book's local Scottish context is therefore not a limitation alone. It is the means by which a global pattern becomes visible. Still, readers looking for a step-by-step campaign manual or a detailed policy blueprint may find the book less systematic than other activist guides. Its strength lies in diagnosis, moral framing, and examples of lived resistance. In conclusion, Soil and Soul is best suited to readers interested in environmental justice, land reform, community organizing, human ecology, and the moral dimensions of activism. It will be especially valuable for people who want to understand why conflicts over land are rarely only technical disputes. The book helps readers see how ownership, belonging, ecological health, cultural identity, and democratic power interact in real communities. Its practical benefit is not a checklist of organizing tactics, but a richer way to think about what gives campaigns legitimacy and endurance. It encourages activists, students, and policy readers to consider local knowledge, spiritual resilience, and community self-determination alongside legal and economic arguments. Compared with many books on environmental politics, it stands out because it combines participant testimony, Scottish land struggles, critique of corporate power, and spiritual reflection in one integrated account. Compared with conventional globalization criticism, it is more rooted in place and less dependent on abstract theory. Compared with purely spiritual nature writing, it remains politically concrete, addressing ownership, planning conflict, and institutional power. Its distinctiveness lies in showing that Soil and Soul are not separate concerns. The defense of land also involves the recovery of human agency, cultural memory, and moral responsibility. If you would like to support Alistair McIntosh, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.